Have a seat. Today is a very special day in the lectionary cycle. As you may know, we have a particular way of approaching how we read the Bible together on Sundays. Where some churches may put together a series of readings based on a theme, or maybe they take one whole book at a time, or in some other way share these ancient texts, in the Anglican Church, we follow something called a lectionary. A lectionary is a predetermined schedule of readings. In the Anglican Church, we don't get to pick and choose what we want to read. We are called to wrestle with the Word of God, to discern God's wisdom for us in the day. The Anglican churches around the world are all reading, struggling with the same texts that we read today. The lectionary is one way that we can make this faith journey together with our sisters and brothers and non-binary siblings in Christ around the world, even if we're very far apart or just down the street. For the Sundays, the lectionary divides the Bible up into a cycle that lasts 3 years. If you've ever found yourself thinking, we read the same stories every year, you'd only be partly right. We read the same lectionary stories every 3 years. The lectionary attempts to cover the entire Bible in those 3 years. However, the Bible is a big place, so we don't actually read the whole thing. For some texts, we just get a few highlight selections. Today is one of those days. That's why it's so special. Our highlighted section comes from the book of the prophet Haggai. Today is only one day in the 3-year cycle that we get to read from this minor prophet. And we only get a few lines. To be fair, Haggai is a very short book. It's only 2 chapters long. It's not unreasonable to use these few lines to summarize the whole thing. If you like a Bible study that isn't going to take forever to get through and yet contains important and interesting information, then the book of Haggai is for you. Haggai stands as a unique statement in the human-divine relationship. In this text, we find the remnant of the exiled returning to their homeland. They'd been sent to the land of the Babylonians way back in 587 BCE. About 70 years later, the fortunes of Babylon shift to the Persians, and the Persians allowed the remnant to return home if they wished. Many did. When they got back to Jerusalem, they set back to rebuilding the place. The problem that our book's author presents is that the people are so busy rebuilding their individual homes and businesses that they aren't working together to restore themselves as God's people in the promised land. Israel's whole identity is bound up in the notion of community and faith to God and living in social systems that function on equity, justice, and mutual prosperity. Their current behavior doesn't reflect those priorities. Haggai sees this happening and chooses the early days of their return to the promised land as the opportunity to try to reinstill these holy habits before things get out of hand and they end up in the same situation they've just returned from. God has a couple of points to make in the messages to the people through Haggai. One is that God has treasures in store for Israel and desires to give these gifts in abundance. The other is God's desire for them all to receive it properly and well. The second one is the chief concern for Haggai. The people have finally been allowed to return to the land that God gave them and be restored as the people of Israel, but they're not engaging the key feature for that restoration to happen. In the section of Haggai we read today, we hear God say, "Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? God is directing their attention to the temple. It was destroyed in the exile and lays in ruins still. While the people have been busy rebuilding their individual homes and businesses, they have neglected to put the same kind of careful work into restoring this very important building. The temple is more than just a place of worship and sacrifice. We already know that God is happy to dwell within the hearts of people, so the building itself isn't necessarily a house that God needs. The temple is a symbol of the relationship between God and humanity. The care that the people take with that structure reflects the care they have in tending to the human-divine relationship, that place that they hold and build and restore within themselves as God's people, as a community, a holy nation. Have you ever experienced that moment from a parent or a teacher standing you in front of some work you've done and asking you to take a good, hard look at it? Maybe it was a shoddy room cleaning, or a haphazardly put together science project, or a hastily written essay filled with grammatical and spelling errors, or sloppy penmanship? Neither have I. In this moment, God stands the people before the temple to take a good, hard look at what they've done. God asks, "Is this the temple you remember? Look at this." It is as if God is running a finger along the edge of the railing. You see that? "Look at this," God says. "Look at these floorboards. They're gappy. The corners don't line up properly. The door hinges are the cheap ones that are already beginning to squeak. Is this what you think the human-divine relationship looks like?" These questions that God asks Israel are meant to call our attention to the temple within ourselves and our part in the covenant relationship we have with God. God has gifted all of us with the ability to pursue excellence. It's not that we need to achieve perfection. Perfection is the realm of the divine. We are expected to pursue excellence, to put our very best effort in the work set before us. When we do, we glorify God. And God comes up alongside of us and enhances what we do. Where have we cut the corners or neglected to do our very best with our relationship with God when we easily could have? God knows there are days when we just cannot give it a 100%. Some days we just haven't got us in us, and the best we can do is 75% of our effort. God will take that. If that's your honest best, then 75% is 100% to God. Today's passage closes with God revealing the plans that God has for everyone. The treasures of nations will fill the restored temple. Properly restoring the temple, the material symbol of the human-divine relationship, ensures Israel that they will be ready and able to receive all that God is ready and able to give them. God desires to give abundantly, with the hope that we will be able to receive it with abundance. The promise that this lectionary selection has for us is the hope of a relationship with God that is so strong, so beautiful, that it functions like a partnership. The activities of humankind in conversation and in partnership with God, in balanced harmony with creation, result in a perpetually sustained state of abundance. All are fed well. All are housed well. All are encouraged to grow and develop toward excellence in whatever they do. And because of that, everyone benefits. This glorifies God. It could be argued that the book of Haggai, as brief as it is, succinctly encapsulates the nature of God's desire for the human-divine relationship. There is much more that we could explore in these two chapters to draw out even more of the wisdom of the Lord. But after today, we'll have to do so on our own. We won't hear from Haggai again until 2028. Perhaps the reason why we sometimes get just a snippet from some of our Bible texts is to pique our curiosity and make us wonder about the authors and the characters, what God was up to back then. Certainly, our Sunday liturgies don't have time to really get into the weeds with every chapter, every verse of every book and letter in the Bible. But maybe we don't have to. Maybe the great gift of the lectionary is to inspire curiosity. Curiosity encourages us to approach the divine and engage. That's the bottom line of every covenant that God has ever made with humankind. Engagement, conversation, partnership, the act of being present with the Creator of all things. What makes today so special is this tiny soundbite from the prophet Haggai, one small voice in an ocean of lectionary voices. Haggai doesn't have a lot to say, but what he does say is really, really powerful and important. His small contribution achieves excellence. This is a brief passage from a brief book, and yet it gifts us with an abundance of wisdom for our own faith journey. Now that is good news.